Good morning and good morning and welcome to Smash Your Business. I'm Rina Hamdan with you.
I am Farah Bashir.
And today we're going to talk about Drake and Skull, the scandal-ridden Drake and Skull. Oof, I covered that story years ago. I'll go through the headlines real quick just so you guys know what we're talking about, and then we'll move on to the juicy part of the chat show. But scandal-ridden Drake and Skull has seen its shares rise 30% on the DFM. It's back on the DFM. Pepsi's Stay Thirsty or Khalik Atshan ad has sparked outrage amidst the boycotts of the beverage brand. And the PIF's domestic focus has spooked global asset managers. And then the Telegraph is going to be the biggest loser after the blocked Abu Dhabi sale, according to the chief of IMI. And then a Riyadh employee has developed a chatbot to tackle the problem of choosing lunch every day. and last but certainly not least, footballer Mido, the Egyptian football legend, has taken his Academy Global after impressing investors on Shark Tank Egypt. So, nice topics we've got today.
Exciting, as you said, juicy.
Yeah, very juicy topics. And exciting.
Yes.
Drake and Skull. Mm-hmm. Should I go through the story first or should I give them the gossip first? Mm-hmm. I'll go through the story real quick before I tell you guys. When I interviewed Khaldun al-Tabari, the ex-CEO of Drake and Skull, I interviewed him over the phone years ago when everything was kind of unraveling. And it was a story that was never published. We had to, it was a cover of him. But first, let me tell you the story, okay? Stay tuned for the gossip. The company obviously had previously been embroiled in legal issues, and Tabari was accused of concealing financial losses during his leadership. Let's put it that way. That's a very diplomatic way of putting it. It was a big story back then. Right now, it's a Dubai-based contractor. Its shares obviously rose 30%, as I mentioned, on the DFM on Wednesday as it returned to trading on the stock exchange after a five-year hiatus. That was a long time. They were restructuring. And the stock trading under DSI, just some quick info for you guys, opened at $0.09, that's 0.33 dirhams, up from its previous price of $0.07 or 0.25 dirhams. The company still reported net losses last year, but it had a successful capital increase exceeding 50 million dirhams, that's more than $122 million. So that's optimistic for a company that has really, really had so many issues before. So they have had a restructuring. Let's go back to Khaldun Tabari. And
you want the gossip, you want the tea.
I want the gossip. Have you heard of Drake and Skull before, by the way?
I actually haven't.
Okay. I have to be careful. Okay, let me, I want to give you guys the gossip, but I have to be careful who I mention and don't mention. So basically with Drake and Skull, I remember writing a story back in the day about him, an arrest warrant being issued for him here in the UAE. He flew to Jordan. I'm not going to use the word fled. He flew, just like B.R. Shetty flew to India from the UAE. Khaldun Tabari also flew to Jordan from the UAE. And apparently there was a story about his daughter. She was known as the daddy's girl. She was his favorite, I believe. And she was stopped at a gas station, apparently, because of the arrest warrant that was issued against him. Anyways, so he was in Jordan. He is believed to still be in Jordan. He was meant to be extradited, but they seem to have agreed or had some sort of agreement for him to stay away. I'm not sure exactly what the story is with him now. And we do want to do a roundup of all of those people and what happened to them. B.R. Shetty, Arif Naqvi, shout out Arif if you're listening, and Khaldun Tabari, amongst many others. But we did a cover on Arabian Business that we had to pull from going to the supermarkets, literally to DIFC, Spinneys, everything. We had to pull it last minute, and it was a cover of Khaldun Tabari with the headline, "It Hurts, It Hurts, It Hurts." And he was talking about how he was used as a scapegoat with Drake and Skull and that it wasn't his fault.
I mean,
it was very dramatic. It was very dramatic. But we were told the cover cannot come out because mm-hmm. he was not actually being used as a scapegoat. So yeah, that's one of my cover stories that never went out.
Well, that I mean, it's sad that it didn't go out. But honestly, I feel like at
you
this
know
point,
what's sad, Farah? What's sad is this cup.
Oh my God! Yeah, there are. Mahira, there's some lipstick on it.
No, it's my that's my lipstick. But where are the Smashy Business mugs?
They're coming soon. They will be coming very soon, I believe. I'm sure. I'm very positive about that.
Sorry, go on. Back to Drake and Skull.
Yes, back to Drake and Skull. Honestly, like hearing from your story and how you explained it, I feel like at this point, business is business. You know what I mean? Like, fine, like, yeah, it hurts.
Yeah.
But business hurts.
Business does hurt, Farah.
Yeah,
that's one of the wisest things you've said. It really does.
Exactly. Another quote by Farah Bashir, guys. Because actually, you know what I mean? Like, business hurts. You know what I mean? Like, for example, like, you might be working with someone.
Iconic. Actually,
and
iconic.
You can never know. They're going to just, like, pull the plug from underneath you.
Totally. It's a jungle out there, Farah.
Literally.
It is a jungle out there.
Yeah, it is.
Now you're trying to really get into
the business world.
The
business
world, exactly.
Yeah.
but it's interesting and it's a great point because mm-hmm. it's pretty cutthroat out there, but that's what makes it thrilling and that's what makes it interesting, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's what makes it worth the risk and worth the gamble, I guess. But yeah, I've had so many covers that did not go out, that were not published, and one day we'll do a roundup of those as well.
Sure, and that's why business hurts, Lubna.
That's why business hurts.
Business hurts.
Indeed. That should be the new slogan of the show. There was also a cover that didn't go out. It was Anas Bukhash on the cover. And it was a couple of years ago, and I had interviewed him, and he had still had his hair dyed with like blonde. He had blonde streaks in his hair, and he came to the studios at the time, and he was wearing a kanduda, and you could see the blonde streaks, you know, from under the qutra, exactly. And it was really interesting, and the cover was Confessions of a Modern Emirati. And he spoke about everything from divorce to whether Emiratis are lazy in the workplace or not. So many controversial topics that he spoke about. And that was before he was famous.
Well, he is. He's a personality, you know what I mean? That he has debunked a lot of like the stereotypes that we think, or maybe we are built to believe.
He gets away with a lot as well. He swears, he uses profanities on his show. He gets away with a lot. It's impressive. I know I like to tease Anas every now and then with how are you really doing question that kills me.
How are you really doing it?
Kills me every time.
How are you really doing it?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know. But he's done really well for himself. And some of the interviews are really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Agreed.
Anyways, Pepsi. Just, I mean, what are you doing? Pepsi launched, created an ad, basically using AI, using old and new footage of celebrities, Amr Diab. They've got some footballers, Mo Salah, many others. And it sparked outrage. Why? Because people are boycotting it. Because Pepsi acquired an Israeli soda company a couple of years back. It's called SodaStream, I believe. I'm going to get it for you guys right here. Yes, SodaStream. It acquired it in 2018. So it has been boycotted. The name of the ad is Khalik Atshan, which means stay thirsty.
Really, I mean, what were they thinking?
They were thinking that they want to piss people off, I guess, and they're taking a stance which is pro-Israeli, it seems so.
This is honestly, like, fine if you want to be...
Distasteful, like, very distasteful.
It's not only that, it's like, I mean, like, let's say you don't want to actually support Palestine, let's say.
Yeah.
Let's say that is, like, the case. Don't make it that known. You know, people will get you. You know what I mean? And at this point, with the boycotts that are happening, they are not like lightly happening.
Mm-hmm.
They are like
sure, because what's happening is not light.
It's not,
not
war.
And shouldn't
it's
be
a genocide.
Taken lightly.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, you know, I know as journalists we have to be objective, but I mean, how can you be objective when a genocide is ongoing?
No.
It's really rather. Yeah, some actions from some brands are quite revolting. I'll
that
just keep
true.
It. I'll just keep it there. However, there was one person who was who people were really praising for refusing to take part in this ad. He refused to participate. I'm just trying to get you his name right here. Right, and the ad celebrities are depicted, by the way, with youthful appearances from different eras, starting with Ahmed Sekka in 1996, Nawal Zoghbi in 2000. The theme is actually quite lovely, but it was just a really, really bad campaign.
Yeah.
And Karim Mahmoud Abdelaziz in 2006. Yeah, Brazilian footballer Roberto Carlos, etc. Lots of people. There was one person that refused to take part in this.
Wigs?
But Wigs, yes,
yes. Yeah, he's a rapper. Mm-hmm. But look, it's not about that.
So people don't know. Sorry to interrupt you,
Farah. Sure.
People don't know yet if these celebrities were asked if Pepsi had their consent to
or
use
not,
their
yeah.
footage in this or not.
I mean, since Wags declined,
yeah, seems
then
like,
they must know.
Yeah.
You know, then other celebrities must know. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
it's like fine. He had the option to decline,
mm-hmm.
but to the other celebrities, they probably had the option to either decline or not.
Absolutely.
And they did not for
yeah.
the money. I mean, like at this point,
yeah.
Aren't you guys seeing the videos that are on social media of the poor children and everyone around who's like literally heartbroken? It's a heartbreaking scene, you know what I mean? Like, fine, already people are boycotting a lot of brands, from McDonald's to Starbucks to...
And those brands are suffering and the boycotts are working. And, you know, people are not heartbroken anymore. People are just angry now.
People are
just angry.
I agree.
You know, someone put out a video on their social media yesterday, and I was scrolling through last night, and obviously the scenes coming out of Rafah, and you know, since October, the scenes coming out of Gaza are really, really, truly horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And someone put out a video saying, "Why is everyone sharing this picture? All eyes on Rafah." Why are they sharing it? It's an AI-generated photo. And also, eyes on Rafah. We need eyes on Rafah. And he was like, that's not what we need. We don't just need eyes. But, you know, my question to you is, like, is no awareness better than all awareness? I mean, at least people are sharing this photo.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what more can people... People are boycotting. People are protesting where they can protest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone is really kind of, trying to step in.
True.
Is it enough? No. It's definitely not enough.
It needs
That's
a bigger,
definitely not enough.
It needs a bigger, force.
It does. But
you know?
we could use all the awareness.
That's true,
we could use every single possible outlet in every single way. So
I agree with you.
And that, by the way, photo has been shared so many times, over 30 million people shared it.
You know what I mean? So. And I think people are trying to trying to get the attention of people like politicians who can help, but
let's see if Piers Morgan shared it, because Piers Morgan has finally the dirham has dropped. Finally, Piers Morgan has changed his his outlook.
That's true.
On this. Oh no, here it's just a story about him having truffle risotto. Wow, Piers. Anywho's, right, that's his personal Instagram. Anyways, that's fine. I'm still blocked by Pierce on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah, he went from being my following me on Instagram to blocking me.
When did that happen?
I really don't care.
Oh God.
Truly. He was once an icon, once a legend, and what a fall from grace. Anywho, Saudi's PIF has shifted its focus to domestic projects. And it's raising concerns among global asset managers, and it should raise concerns. It's great for Saudi. It's they are really looking to, fund their regional projects, which they should, right? So anyway, the PIF, the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Saudi, has announced plans to increase the annual deployment of funds, potentially reaching up to $70 billion per year. It's been spooking or scaring or raising concerns among their international partners, because it's all going to go local. Which is the best part. This represents a notable departure from previous years, when wealth funds from the Middle East were actively seeking opportunities to invest billions of dollars alongside major global investors. The PIF is valued at $925 billion. And it's been active in supporting firms like BlackRock and Brookfield Asset Management. But I'm really happy to hear this. And this was a theme at the Qatar summit that we were at, which I keep mentioning, but it's so much is happening in Qatar right now. They're really pushing through with their events. And I'm really happy to see this. There's a great quote from a senior resident scholar at the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington. He said, "For some time, it seemed like everyone wanted a piece of the Saudi pie that the PIF was serving. Plenty of people simply saw the fund as a bottomless war chest," he said. He told Bloomberg. We saw someone from the Qatari Wealth Fund as well say at the summit that we've got more leverage now. We've got more power, a negotiating power, and it's not just up to you now. It's not just up to the West. You don't just get to. And Fadi Landour said that as well. He said that when we spoke to him in Doha. Also, he said it's no longer that you just take our money. You need to invest our money back in the region. He said that's what the investors are saying. The wealth funds are saying. So
I mean, honestly, it makes me really. Maybe I shouldn't use the term, but happy.
Yeah.
To see that, you know what, you know, for so long we idealized the West, you know what I mean? People like the Gulf region and Arabs who had a lot of, you know, like many would invest their money in the West without thinking, you know, like anything. But now the fact that the Gulf, Qatar and Saudi, they are actually investing in, you know what, like fine, like we're going to be investing, but you know, we want the money to be like back, which is honestly like that's the smartest thing that we can do, because like at this point, you know what, as you said,
we've got so much to give.
True.
We've got so much to give.
That's true.
And they're not at their best at the moment.
For so long, so, like it's like, you know, we idealized the West, specifically in business. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, they know it all. But while Qatar and Saudi are here to be like, well, that's not the case.
And everyone is saying that, you know, everyone is realizing that this is the place to be right now.
So, that is true. That is true.
So, what a nice, smooth transition to our next story about the Telegraph. Rani Raad, the CEO of Abu Dhabi-backed IMI, said at the Arab Media Forum that the UK's new laws against a foreign government owning local British media is just going to make the Telegraph the biggest loser. So he's talking about the blocked deal. IMI, Redbird, obviously backed by Sheikh Mansour, wanted to buy the Telegraph and the Spectator, and it bought, actually. The sale went through, and then it was, reversed, blocked, whatever you want to call it, because of those new laws. When they closed the Telegraph deal, the rules were changed after the fact, he said, and that for me suggests that the UK becomes very difficult to promote inward investment. Last year alone, he said, the UK lost 1,200 journalists in 1 year. It's a very powerful video. He said, ultimately, for whatever reason, whether it's xenophobia, whether it's party politics in the UK, he said, it's a shame it played out the way it did, and the Telegraph is ultimately going to be a weaker brand because of it, he said. He said it's a bigger loss for the Telegraph than it is for us, and we have moved on from that.
I mean, I don't know. They might have moved on, but I don't know if people are going to move on. You know what I mean? Because like, the Telegraph is such a, like, it's huge, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if people are going to move on. So, I don't think it's really that much of like a good deal.
I mean, it's not a good deal for the Telegraph because the UK is not investing in its journalists. Yeah. You know, it lost that big number of journalists in just 1 year, as he mentioned. And I guess it's, you know, I guess the region is saying to the West, you don't get to take our money now. We're, you know, on your own terms.
That's true. We're independent now.
Yeah, we're independent. We've got more negotiating power, as they said. Moving on so that we don't get too political on this show, too anti-Western, someone called us. I don't even know what that means.
Who said that? No, we're not anti-Western. Listener said that,
and thank you for your views and stuff, but thank you for your opinion and your constructive criticism.
We're not anti-Western. Like,
we're not. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know.
anyways, an employee in Riyadh has developed a chatbot to tackle his daily challenge of choosing his lunch. How lovely is that? How lovely is that?
That would honestly save my life.
Yeah.
For real.
I feel like $1 billion would save my life at the moment. But okay. Also a chatbot. Also a chatbot.
Guys, don't forget, donations for Lubna are right here.
Oh my God, you're going to get me arrested. We're not allowed to.
Oh, okay, never mind.
We're not allowed to say that and do not take donations, but it's okay, Farah. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Solutions architect Mohammed Hawadi aimed to tackle the daily challenge in his office of deciding who would order lunch. So he came up with the idea of creating a chatbot first and then a bot app with a built-in memory storage. It's called Lunchy, or it developed into what is now Lunchy, which randomly selects a different person each day for the task of choosing lunch. He was initially able to create the chatbot by transitioning the company's WhatsApp group to Telegram and creating a bot using Telegram bots. Very cool. So Lunchy now anonymously selects a different person each day to order lunch, resolving the office's daily debate over this task. But he said that the office now misses this debate. So,
I mean, honestly, that is very, very smart. For, like, I don't know, like,
that is very smart.
That is.
Makes me wonder, what are we doing here? What
exactly? Like, why do we? Do we have access for the app? I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
We need to lunch today?
What should we have for lunch today?
Yeah.
What should we have for lunch today? Let's talk about it after we talk about Shark
I'm
Tank.
Now.
I'm starving. Yeah. I'm starving after the coffee machine coffee. Fun fact, by the way. So Waleed Shihabi, who's with us, my co-host, every Wednesday, who's so, so lovely that he makes us coffee when he comes here, not makes me and himself coffee. So instead of me making him coffee and inviting him for a coffee, he ends up making coffee for himself using the proper coffee machine, whereas I'm settling for this machine coffee. And why? How does he make this coffee? He learned to make it. I think he I don't want to get this information wrong, but I think when he was a student, he dabbled in something barista work or something like that when he was studying at uni. Again, I don't want to get this info wrong. But that's a nice experience you get when you study abroad. You don't get that here in Dubai. You don't get to work as a student. I remember one of my dreams was to be a bartender.
Barista, really?
To be a bartender. Wow. It just looks really cool with the different cocktails and all of that, you know?
I mean, I would love to work at a bakery.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. I would get really fat though at a bakery.
So, I mean, I bake really well as well. Yeah. And I cook as well, so I think.
Oh, that's nice. Well, so where are the baked goods?
Farah? I all the time, but they bring. I really bring a lot. Yeah, well,
I haven't been seeing any recently.
Well, I'll make some for you.
Please. footballer Mido has taken his academy global He went on Shark Tank Egypt. Let me give you guys some background. And Hamed Mensi, by the way, liked our post on social media, and he's the big man behind Shark Tank Egypt. So that was really nice. Mido basically is a famous Egyptian footballer, and he has a private football academy called The Maker, and it offers football training, education, nutrition, and sports psychology for kids. He's an ex-Zamalek player. He retired in 2013, became the youngest manager to win the Egyptian Cup in 2014. He's now a sports presenter and analyst, and he has an impressive 51 caps and 20 goals for the Egyptian national team. He basically pitched on Shark Tank to the investors for this program to really invest in Egyptian local talent. And it really impressed the sharks, as they call them. And as a result of that, he signed a partnership with one of the world's biggest agencies for sports, Swiss Agency, or USC.
Honestly, that is a very smart business idea, to invest in talent.
Yeah.
Because then talent will bring you money, and it's going to be like, I don't know. I think it's a really good thing to invest in.
Sorry, I'm just getting an exclusive. What is it, Hisham? He paid 5 million. He invested 5 million Egyptian pounds by himself into this project before... Wow. Before pitching to Shark Tank and getting investment from them. Nice. It's really nice when a footballer does something like that for a community and gives back to the community. And by the way, The Maker is free. The Maker is free, and he confirmed that in the comments. That is so beautiful. That is really beautiful.
No, it really is. And honestly, I feel like, honestly, like, it's very smart and very like convenient for like and for the time being right now, and it's like it has potential to grow and, you know, like have like a legacy continue
on,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, for example, like if you have like a business idea, you know, it might be good for like, I don't know, a short period of time or like a specific, you know, amount of time.
Yeah, no, this is a long-term, this is a long-term investment, right?
Yeah.
Because he wants to help those kids, you know, get those contracts in the future.
100%.
So it's really brilliant. Shark Tank Egypt is a wonderful show. Have you started watching it, Farah? I keep pushing you to watch it. Please do watch it. Shark Tank Egypt. I don't recommend you start with Shark Tank Dubai. I don't recommend you do that. Who's my favorite from Shark Tank Egypt? The hologram guy. He's absolutely brilliant. The guy who went on Shark Tank Egypt and was, he told the sharks, he said, I don't want any investment from you guys. I think he asked for a very, very small investment, like 20,000 Egyptian pounds. He just said, the only thing I want from you is I want you all to be on board, and I just want your advice. So I don't actually want any investment. Ugh, talk about not a publicity stunt, but talk about, I don't even know what you call it. Talk about making a great first impression.
Exactly. It's like, okay, I'm not going to say that.
Let's not say it on the show. I think everyone agrees.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's been a great episode. Thank you, Farah, for joining me. And thank you guys for listening. And you know the drill. We'll see you tomorrow.